Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're discussing a critical issue facing pet owners across the country and right here in our own backyard of Southern Oregon. There's a growing shortage of veterinary professionals and a projected shortfall of up to 24,000 veterinarians by 2030, a crisis that hits rural communities especially hard. Joining me today to talk about a major investment in the future of animal care is Dr. Steve Kochus, Chief Medical Officer and Interim CEO of Oregon Humane. Welcome to the Exchange, Dr. Kochus.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And also joining our conversation is Audrey Albaugh, an Oregon State University alum and a dedicated philanthropist. Audrey recently made a transformative $1 million gift to Oregon Humane to support a unique veterinary training partnership with Oregon State's College of Veterinary Medicine. Welcome to the Exchange, Audrey.
Thank you. Good morning.
Dr. Kochus, help me understand the current state of the veterinary landscape in Oregon and the role of Oregon Humane.
Yeah, we started a program back in 2007 where we built a hospital. We had a need, which was having an on-site veterinary hospital for the shelter. Prior to that, we had to send animals out for veterinary care, including things like spay-neuter. And then in partnership with Oregon State University, we created a hospital with the intent of having a rotation that all veterinary students could come on site and get hands-on training. Specifically surgical training, dental, behavior, medical. So every Oregon State veterinary student spends 3 weeks with us, and that's a required amount of time as part of their regular curriculum. And they get a lot more hands-on experience than they would had we not created this program.
Okay, and so what is the role of Oregon Humane in trying to address this shortage of vets?
Yeah, I mean, our biggest goal, obviously, is to provide better training for them, to give them more experiences. You know, Oregon State Veterinary School, Oregon State University College of Veterinary Medicine, it is a more rural location, so we can provide them a greater caseload. And again, they get a lot more surgical experience. Just going back to my own veterinary training, which was 30 years ago, when I graduated, I had only done, I think, 4 surgeries. Students today, thanks to this program, are able to do upwards of 30 or 40 procedures, and they're getting a lot more, again, real-world sort of hands-on medical and surgical experience with our program.
So what do you think are the primary factors driving the shortage?
Well, I think the biggest issue that we face, especially for rural communities, is that folks that are going into more isolated or rural parts of the country, they tend to work longer hours. They tend to have to take on-call services. Unfortunately, the economics of, you know, livestock practice or food animal practice, et cetera, or large animal, mixed animal, the salary or the pay might not be as competitive. And students, on average, are coming out of veterinary school with a debt load of close to $200,000, depending on where they've gone to school. Approximately 6% of graduates have student loans that exceed $400,000. And they just can't make up that type of salary working in, you know, again, more isolated or rural parts of the state.
And in this training, are veterinary doctors required to have this wide range of knowledge about different kinds of animals?
At Oregon Humane, we are just dedicated to small animal, companion animal, and they get some exposure to things like rabbits and birds and pocket pets, et cetera. But in their program with the veterinary school, they learn all the disciplines, all the species, depending on how they decide to focus, like if they're small animal focused or if they're mixed animal focused. They get 2 to 4 weeks of on a rotation that's a rural veterinary practice rotation. So they are exposed to everything. I spoke with the dean of the veterinary college earlier this week, and roughly 30% of students track as mixed or large animal. But unfortunately, you know, we provide the experience, we provide the training, but it is ultimately up to the student to decide, you know, where they want to practice, et cetera. Currently in the state of Oregon, there is some incentives. There are 7 designated areas around the state where a veterinary shortage is, I been identified, particularly for livestock veterinarians. And they can, those veterinarians, once they graduate, can apply for some student loan repayment options up to $20,000 a year. But if you think about that debt of over $200,000, that is a small amount. It's not enough incentive, unfortunately, to really encourage people to move into rural areas.
Well, certainly building a qualified talent pipeline of veterinarians is going to cost. And that's where you come in, Audrey. Can you tell me a little bit about your own story and what inspired you to become so deeply involved with Oregon Humane?
Well, my whole family is, they're animal people. We always have been, cats, dogs, and my grandparents had a registered Hereford cattle ranch near Powers. And I've always been attracted to dogs, cats, anything. But when I moved up here to Portland, I do live in Coos Bay part-time, but when I moved up to Portland, I wanted to get involved in something. And so I saw something on TV regarding Oregon Humane. I thought, well, that sounds good. So I went to one of their fundraisers, and I was kind of hooked and kept going and going and then got interested in different parts of Oregon Humane. And knowing that Oregon State contributes to the veterinary hospital, it was a win-win for me because I'm an Oregon State alum. So that's kind of where it all started.
Okay, and so what kind of pets do you own?
Well, right now I have 4 dogs and 2 cats. But for fun, the other night I added up all the dogs. I've had 13 dogs so far in my life and over 24 cats and rescued feral kittens. So I had 11 of those. So I'm jam-packed with pets forever.
Okay, well, as a resident of both Coos Bay and Portland, how do you see this investment benefiting your local community on the coast as well as the broader Oregon region?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that because Coos Bay right now is going through a vet shortage. In fact, my vet in Coos Bay had 5 or 6, and now they're down to 3. And it's a family thing. Mother, daughter, father. And it's like a family business, and it is hard for that area, because it is partially rural, to get vets to go there for exactly what Dr. Kochas was saying. Coos Bay has had financial issues in the past. They still do, and it's hard to get people to move there.
My guests are Dr. Steve Kochas, Chief Medical Officer and Interim CEO of Oregon Humane, and Audrey Alba, an Oregon State University alum and philanthropist who donated $1 million to help support vet training at Oregon State. Dr. Kochas, from the perspective of Oregon Humane, what's the expected immediate and long-term impact of Audrey's $1 million donation?
Yeah, I mean, with the shortages across, you know, the state, the veterinary school is, you know, always looking for ways to augment the program. Oregon Humane happen to be in a much better financial situation with regard to having very generous donors. So where Oregon State has not been able to invest in the program as much, donors like Audrey have been able to step in and make sure that this program continues, and not just continues, but continues to grow, that we might be able to offer more time for them on campus, more exposure to different things. You know, we did a major expansion in 2022, opening a public-facing hospital, a community veterinary hospital that is helping with the sort of the crisis of, you know, greater access to care, especially for folks that might be struggling financially, et cetera. And so Audrey has been very generous to contribute both to that project, and again, to make sure that we set these future veterinarians up for success.
And so how many students actually go through your program every year?
We probably average about 100. When this program started in 2007, that number was close to about 40 a year. So the class sizes are growing at all the veterinary schools, including Oregon State. And we're averaging about 100 students that go through the program right now.
And so in your estimation, what kind of incentives, whether they are financial, like student loan forgiveness, or professional, are there to encourage new graduates to practice in rural or underserved communities?
Yeah, I would say the financial is probably the biggest. Or, you know, if there's something about the community, you know, if they want to start a family, having good schools, you know, sense of community, those kinds of things. I do feel that the isolation, so not having a lot of colleagues to potentially, you know, work with or bounce ideas off of, or, you know, share on call and things like that is a deterrent. But I think one of the biggest, you know, stressors for veterinarians coming out of veterinary school is sort of the financial obligation, the cost to go to veterinary school and then being able to pay that debt back.
So without significant financial support and programs like this, would you say the veterinary field is still a desirable career path?
It is still a very desirable career path. You know, we have a humane education program at Oregon Humane, and I'm always sort of rejuvenated when we have kids on site, especially in the summer for summer camp. And I ask the question, you know, how many of you want to be a veterinarian? There's a lot of hands that go up. Granted, I know that's going to change from when they're in third, fourth, and fifth grade to the time that they get into school. But it is still a very admired profession. It's still a very desirable profession. I don't see that changing, but I do think things have to change with regard to the cost of the education and how we can afford to pay that debt back.
So, Audrey, if we look 5 or 10 years down the road, how do you hope the landscape of veterinary medicine in Oregon will have changed because of investments in education like yours?
Well, I certainly hope that it can help, you know, get more graduates to the rural areas and definitely promote the veterinary careers that people could have, especially through Oregon State. And I guess that my donation, I would like to see it profiling, maybe encouraging more people to invest in this kind of donation. And I'm just pleased that the word is out. I was surprised to get the invitation to even speak with you. So I guess I'm getting the word out now, and hopefully it'll get out more.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about that process. How easy or difficult was it?
Oh, you mean the donation?
Yes.
Well, it took a while. I've been trying to think about how to do it. And originally, I wanted to divide my donation. And then the more I got into it, I decided, well, I'm going to invest in Oregon Humane, but then down the road, Oregon State Vet School will be getting a donation also. And it took several years for me to figure out how I wanted to do it and the best way to do it. And that's what happened, and it worked.
And Dr. Kochus, if we look 5 or 10 years down the road, what do you see with regard to the impact of this donation and others?
Yeah, I mean, we will definitely leverage folks like Audrey and their generosity to try and encourage others. We are also, you know, heavily involved in legislative efforts. You know, it always comes down to issues of, you know, where the money is needed most, but we're usually advocating for things like, you know, student loan relief, other incentives to get veterinarians in the right places, encourage them to go into the right, you know, specialties and the right fields. Yeah, they're just, you know, there's so many priorities for how dollars are spent. But we're always going to advocate for the teaching and training of not just future veterinarians, but we also train future veterinary nurses. And training and education is always going to be a big part of what Oregon Humane does.
When we talk about the shortage of vets in rural regions, where are some of the most needed areas?
Oh, gosh. Anything outside of the I-5 corridor, wherever there's agriculture, that's where it's needed. And we sort of see not just for, you know, food animal protection of our food sources and things like that, but also, like as Audrey said, you know, just even getting access to small animal vets in, you know, smaller parts, smaller cities, smaller towns.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks to you both.
Yep.
Thank you.